Springbok 9:30 dossier. Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
After gambling away Maria and Joseph's lives on the contents of a box of paper clips, I went outside with Pupchak to watch their execution. My stomach was churning as I followed him into the crisp air of dawn. Already a large group of partisans had gathered for the show. Two ropes had been thrown over the lower branch of a large tree, below which stood a tall wooden trestle. I stood to one side while Pavchek went in among his men, issuing orders and talking to some of his lieutenants. And then came the moment I dreaded. The prisoners were led out, hands bound behind their backs. Maria had her long dark hair tied up in a bun. Joseph was pale-faced, his eyes looking down. As they were lifted up onto the trestle, Pavchek came back to my side.
The girl is brave, defiant to the last.
This is a crime, Pavchek. One day you'll have to pay for it.
The girl murdered Dubak, not so.
You know she did. But she was doing what she thought was her duty.
To murder an old and trusted ally can never be regarded as a duty. Besides, I give you a chance to save them. It is a fair gamble, and you lost.
Allied intelligence might go back on their agreement to supply you arms when they learn of this.
Who will tell them? You?
If I get the chance, yes.
You will get no chance from here, my friend. And now that Dubak is dead, the only other man for 100 kilometers is in direct communication is Carescu. And I would not even like you to fall into his hands. They are ready.
A burly partisan had put the nooses round the prisoners' necks. I saw the brave and beautiful Maria whisper something to Joseph. He straightened up and stared ahead, his mouth a thin line. Maria's eyes met mine, and she nodded. At each end of the trestle stood a man, waiting to kick it over.
Would you like to give the order?
No.
Very well. Alexei, Potra!
I wanted to turn away my head, but an awful, morbid fascination gripped me. The two men kicked over the trestle, and Joseph and Maria fell to the ground, rolling and kicking. For a moment, I thought the ropes had broken, and then I realized that they'd been untied at the other end. Beside me, Pavchek was almost doubled up with luck. After witnessing the mock execution, the partisan leader hustled me back into his room in the cottage. He was still grinning from ear to ear when I turned and angrily confronted him.
That has put me in a good mood for the day.
Where's the sense behind it, Pavchek? That was an act of deliberate cruelty.
I know, Lieutenant. It was also a punishment. Better to be hanged and live than to be hanged and dead, don't you think?
Did you ever intend to hang them?
Yes. Yes, but the girl, she was so brave, so beautiful. I did not have the heart to kill her. And it would not have been just to kill one without the other.
All right.
So, what are you going to do with them?
I don't know.
Be reasonable, Pavchek. Just let us go on our way to the north. You've made your deal, and you're happy that we're on an important assignment for British intelligence.
Oh.
By letting us go, you can help save the lives of many others.
I have told you, Lieutenant, you are free to go at any time you wish.
You have kept me up all night singing songs and drinking whiskey. I'm tired.
I don't want to leave without Maria and Joseph.
Oh, you are a very stubborn man.
That's a prerequisite of my job.
I want to sleep for a while. When I wake up, I will let you know.
Oh, please, Pavchak, time is precious.
Then go! But if you want your guys to go with you, then you will have to wait. What do you want to do?
Wait.
Gregory!
Yes, Comrade Pavchak.
Take this Englishman back to his friends. I think I could sleep for a week.
I hope not. Far to the north, the fugitive column, under the command of Major Clifford Ramsden, began its slow journey west to the mouth of Rajik Pass, leaving behind the small village of Komasek. Several kilometers along the rocky road east of the village, a trap had been laid for the pursuers, a battalion of Waffen-SS. 60 men, a motley ragtag group of Russians, Poles, British, and Yugoslavs, had been waiting all night in ambush for the Germans to move off. For a reason not clear to the British major, the Germans had spent the whole previous day camped beside a stream, the men fishing and sporting themselves in the river. It had given Major Ramsden's second-in-command, an American Air Force captain, Martin Sanders, plenty of time to organize his ambush. Now the German lorries were loaded and ready to move. Watchers reported back that even as daylight came, their quarry seemed reluctant to move. Captain Sanders wondered why.
Lieutenant Weser.
Yeah, Herr Mayor.
I will take a walk along the bank of the stream. Would you like to join me?
The men are ready to go.
Oh, there is no hurry. It is a lovely morning. I think 0800 hours would be a good time to leave Kom.
One of the sentries reported hearing movement in the trees further up the hill. Early this morning, about 4.
It is only to be expected. They are being watched all the time, if not by the partisans, then by Major Ramsden's rear guard. He will be anxious to know what we are doing.
Would it not be wise for us to send ahead a patrol to see what he is doing, Herr Major?
We know what Major Ramsden and his gang of fugitives are doing, Weser. They are running before us into Rajik Pass. I told you yesterday I would rather not make contact with them yet. Better to wait until they are nicely sealed up in the pass. Then I can negotiate their peaceful surrender.
Yeah.
Ah, did you see that, Lieutenant?
What?
A kingfisher. Oh, isn't nature wonderful? I spent most of yesterday fishing until I was certain there were no fish in the stream. And now, look, in a single dive, a kingfisher comes up with one. It makes one think.
Think what, Emil?
Whether the good Lord intended man to eat fish. If he had, he would have made them easier to catch.
Begging your pardon, Herr Mayor, but if we walk much farther, we could run into danger. If the enemy is watching us, we will be easy targets.
Just as far as that clump of trees. And stop being so edgy, Fraser. Be like me. Ponder at the glories of nature and forget this stupid war for a while.
Oh, it's you, Dmitri.
Kaneshki has just reported back that the Germans are sitting beside the lorries doing nothing.
Damn. I wonder if they suspect.
No, I'm sure they don't. It is as though they are just wasting time. They must know we are watching them, yet they pretend there's no one else in the world but them.
There has to be a reason for it, Dmitri. With their vast superiority, they could move ahead and jump our column, wiping us out in a few hours. Why don't they?
Project Pass. Is it possibly a trap for us?
It's possible, I suppose. Major Ramsden has sent a patrol far ahead to reconnoiter. If there's any German activity there, we'll soon spot it. Oh, damn it, the Germans could sit by that stream for another week.
No. Lieutenant Brzezinski's men saw them loading the lorries last night. They'll move sometime today.
I wonder what Major Ramsden would do if he was here.
You know the Major. To him it is like hunting foxes.
Oh, yeah. Tally-ho, up and at them, lads. Do you fancy that idea, Dmitri?
I would like to, yes, but it would be unwise. We can do a lot more damage if we wait and herd the Germans into our trap.
Have you seen Kovacs?
Ah, that Yugoslav Kulak, no. He will be over where the landmines have been laid.
You don't like him, huh?
Not much. If he helps us, so that is good. But with these Slavs, a man must watch his back for treachery. They change their politics and loyalties like most men change their socks.
I don't know. He seems straight enough to me.
No, because you are an American. You do not have the devious mind of the Slav and the Croat.
To them, the gun and the bomb are the solution to every minor problem. We Russians understand, because once we were the same. Ah, that is Gamokhin with the news. I have a line of men relaying information all the way along the track. I'll go and see what it is.
Well, Lieutenant, it is time for our country drive to begin.
Herr Major, are you driving?
Yeah, I shall be your chauffeur for a while. It's a nice day for it, and I like driving. Besides, you drive over rocks and into potholes. I prefer to drive around them. Come, get in. Yeah.
Are you leading the column, Herr Major?
Very unwise. This is ambush country, Weiser. I shall pull over here into the side and let some of the lorries pass first. All right, Weiser. Signal them on.
This road is so bad.
It is good compared to what we have after Komasek. According to the ordnance map, it is little more than a goat track from there to Radek Pass. Look at the smoke coming from the exhausts. I think our transport people are supplying olive oil as fuel these days.
The Germans are moving off.
Alas, is everything ready?
Nah. The men have been told to concentrate on shooting the officers. Germans without officers are like chickens without heads.
Their column is all trucks.
And one staff car, and that will be my target. The Schmeisser machine guns we took from the German patrol are very good for this kind of work.
They're better than the Stens we had before.
Yeah. There's Gamokhin's signal. They're coming. The men will wait for the first 8 lorries to pass before they open fire.
Yeah, here's the first one coming around the bend on the road now.
The soldiers in the lorries we disabled will spill out and run over to those rocks for cover, because all the shooting will come from this side. When they reach the rocks, they will find Brzezinski and his Poles waiting for them.
It's damn waiting. He'll be flying any day.
Any moment now.
Captain Saunders watched the black-painted lorries with their skull and crossbones emblem pass no more than 50 meters away. They traveled painfully slowly along the narrow, rutted track, their rear flaps tied open so that Saunders could see the rows of black-helmeted soldiers seated in rows inside. The sixth lorry passed, and then came the staff car, an SS pennant flying on its bonnet. The seventh lorry came into view, and then the firing started. Lying beside Saunders, Dmitri squeezed the trigger of his Schmeisser and poured a hail of bullets at the start car. It swerved violently to one side of the road and hit a rock. All along the road, SS troops poured out of the lorries and ran for cover as our 60 Schmeissers poured death at them from their angry muzzles. The lorries and the staff car were on fire. The other truck speeded up and passed through the smoke and fire in a run to safety. The ploy had effectively cut the German force into two parts. But Martin Saunders knew it was only a matter of time before the Germans regrouped and reversed the tide. Dmitri gave a signal, and his men started to melt away up the hill and away to the west. Dmitri and Saunders followed them. They climbed the heavily wooded slope and reached the top. Far off, they watched the German lorries moving with speed into the second ambush. The leading one suddenly lifted up, nose first, a plume of flame and dust blossoming out from under its wheels. As it rolled over onto its side, the fuel tank exploded in an orange burst. Then the second lorry hit another mine. The three remaining lorries stopped in time and spewed out their passengers. Kovacs' partisans opened fire on them with machine guns and mortars. It was a massacre.
Stop firing! You hear me there? Stop firing!
Yeah, they've gone.
just melted away.
You, Lieutenant Gruber, take some men and search for bodies. I want them identified.
Yeah, I am, are you?
Partisans.
Oh, you're wrong, Besa. They were using Schmeisers. The ones taken from Lieutenant Goren's patrol. The sheep we are herding into Rajek Pass have big teeth.
The lorries that got through are in trouble, Herr Major. Can you hear it on the road ahead?
Yeah, we'd better go and relieve them. Bring the lorries up! Detail some men to put the dead and wounded at the side of the road. Our medics can stay behind and clean up the mess. Yeah.
When Major Scheer and the rest of his column reached the stretch of the road where the four lorries had been ambushed, they were greeted by a pall of black smoke and the crackle of flame. Every one of his trapped men had died by bullet, explosion, or the cold steel of a bayonet. There were several bodies of partisans lying around, too, a fact which alarmed him. At the ambush, 2 kilometers back, his men had found the bodies of 3, which were identified as escaped Russian prisoners of war. Could it have been 2 separate ambushes, one by the partisans, the other by Ramsden's men? Or had the partisans allied themselves with Ramsden's army of escaped prisoners?
The medical officer reports 74 dead and 112 wounded. 32 of them seriously.
Yeah, it's bad, Vesa, very bad. I shall have to change my tactics. Before we move on, you will have to send out men to clear the road of mines.
Yeah, Mayor.
Mines. I wonder where they came from.
Dropped by the partisans. Dropped to the partisans by the British and Americans.
We'll know the answer when some of them are dug up. And I want 15 of the half-track gun carriers brought up from the rear, a strategy I should have adopted earlier. Come on. Five of these half-tracks will keep station half a kilometer ahead of the main column.
Yeah,
and finally, I want 2 hourly patrols sent out to scour the hills on either side of the road.
Yeah, Herr Major. The village of Kornasek is less than 12 kilometers ahead. We can burn it as a lesson to these partisans.
Burn it when we leave.
You will stop there?
Yeah, until tomorrow morning. No, on second thoughts, we will not burn it. The village will be an ideal place to house the wounded. When you call up HQ, tell them to send field ambulances to evacuate them.
What do you wish me to report about this?
The truth, my dear Vesa. Explain we were ambushed by partisans, orchestrated by Ramsden's men. List our casualties and say I am advancing to engage the fugitives.
They will want an estimate of the enemy force, Herr Major.
Well, a little exaggeration will do no harm. Tell them about 300.
Yeah.
We cut them to pieces after regrouping and they fled into the hills. Yeah. That'll satisfy HQ. They prefer to hear about victories in these pressing times, eh, Lieutenant Vesa?
As you say, Herr Major.
Right. Shall we get on with it?
By the time Captain Sanders caught up with Major Ramsden, his column had advanced 11 kilometers from the village. Dimitri regrouped his own men and the Poles at Komasek, where the villagers were preparing for their second evacuation in 3 days. He would hold our rear in case the Germans passed right on through the village, hell-bent on revenge for the mauling they'd received. Kovacs was also at the village, his partisan group helping with the evacuation.
Hey, you! Kulak, my men did your work for you.
What is that, you mad Russian?
We killed most of the Germans before they even reached your landmine.
You should teach your men to shoot, Dmitry. We killed more than 60 of them. All you did was shoot at them from a distance.
We fought against 6,000, Kulak. You only had to deal with 3 panic-stricken lorry launches. You call that brave, huh?
Anyone can fight from a distance of 300 meters from the enemy. It takes a man to fight hand to hand. That's the Russian way, huh? Creep up and shoot an enemy in the back, then run like the devil himself is biting your bottom.
If we were not fighting together, I would bash in your miserable face, Kovac. Yeah, look at this.
What?
Your people running like scared rabbits because the Germans are coming. Why don't they stand and fight, huh? Like we did when the Germans came.
Don't try to fool me, Dmitri. I know all about your Russian scorched earth policy. The peasants burned their crops and houses and fled like deer before a pack of wolves.
Yeah, because they were ordered to.
We Slavs are not stupid. What purpose would be served if we stayed in the village and tried to fight off a battalion of Waffen-SS? They would kill us all in a minute and move on as though nothing had happened.
So you drink some brandy with me, Kulak.
If you stop calling me a Kulak, I am not a Russian.
Well, you are not a Russian, I know. Here, one of your women gave me this bottle. Peach brandy. Drink half a bottle, then you have to be sick in order to drink the other half.
It needs a strong stomach of a Slav to digest.
Come, we can drink it from the bottle. Yes, sweet, sweet. Maybe I'll look for some more to take with me to Rajik Path. Huh?
I can arrange it. You will need it to take away the dark shadow and silence.
Is it so bad?
I tell you, mad Russian, you will be trapped there by these Germans and die. Then truly it will become the valley of the dead.
There is a way out to the sea at the western end.
No, Dmitri. And I told your Major Amston so. You are doomed if you go under those tall mountain slopes, like the Bulgars were 500 years ago.
What happened then?
They fled from the Muslim Turks, also believing there was a way out to the west. 3,000 of them, all fierce fighting men. Not one came out of Rajak alive. It will happen again to you.
Did you tell this to Major Ramsden?
No.
Why not?
He did not seem interested. He says he has orders to go into Rajak, and these orders will be carried out.
3,000 Bulgar soldiers, you say? There's a lot of men to die at once. I think I better tell the British Major about this. It might be better if we fight our way east and meet the Russian army.
I do not think the Major will agree. Tell me, Dmitri, are you a communist?
Da. Why do you ask?
I wondered. People say Russians are only communists because they have to be.
Oh, they do. Are you a Christian, my friend?
Yes.
So then you are a Christian because you have to be, huh? No, it is the same thing with us. Religion, politics, they all the same thing, Kovac. They dictate a way of life, neither take into consideration human needs or behavior. Come on, now, drink.
I think Yugoslavia will become communist after the Germans
leave. Oh, then watch, my Kulak friend. The rich will get poorer and the poor... they get poorer. Then everybody can be unhappy together. It's a way of life.
You are quite a philosopher. Come with me. I'll get you some more bottles of peach brandy.
And we help you to evacuate the village.
Several hours later, 5 German half-track gun carriers came up the stony road and came to a halt in the small village square. The men remained on their squat, ugly vehicles and waited. They had seen so many deserted hill villages before. They had also seen ambushes and booby traps before and were cautious. After several minutes passed, 2 of them moved off and ran round the village's perimeter, their crews carefully studying each building and path in turn. Then they returned to station in the square. A few minutes later, more half-tracks drove into the village, followed by several large lorries. Troops spilled out and began a systematic house-to-house search. Major Gunter Scheer chose the schoolhouse for his billet and command post. Orderlies put in a bed and other creature comforts and then left him alone to brood. He was a much changed man from the nature lover of 7 that morning.
Said Lieutenant Weser.
Heil Hitler!
Oh, no. What brought that on?
I thought you were in that kind of mood, Herr Mayor.
You know damn well I stopped being in Heil Hitler moods a year ago. Do you still have them?
Well, no, not really.
Sit down, and I'll let you share my depression with me. To be honest, Weser, I feel utterly betrayed.
Betrayed? Herr Major, by who?
This damned Englander, Major Ramsden. He should have known we were only following him. You know yourself, Weser, how I was trying to avoid serious bloodshed.
Now see what has happened.
They are the enemy, Herr Major.
I know. And we shall have to be a lot more aggressive in future. I can't allow myself to be caught like that again. Have the patrols brought in any prisoners yet?
Nine, Herr Major. They have scoured 3 kilometers around Komisek. The people must have evacuated early this morning.
Probably joined up with Ramsden's column.
Yeah.
Well, that is their misfortune, because from tomorrow I go on the offensive. This Englander wants bloodshed, then let it flow.
Major?
We will have plenty of time to admire the countryside when it is all over.
The Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you every day at this time, Monday to Friday, on Springbok Radio.